blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 379, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. By Babel's streams we sat and wept, for memory still to Zion clung. The winds alone our harp strings swept, that on the drooping willows hung. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 379.
Sighs to us belong.
Scripture reading in this morning can be found in the second chapter of the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel, chapter 2. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, and thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Daniel chapter 2. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. And then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But If ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven, and that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. And then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who is in the hospital in Calgary, and Mrs. Wilhelmina Arnoldusen, who was in the hospital for a short time yesterday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, all we have read together of that which thou didst bring forth out of the mouth of thy servant, and even out of the mouth of that heathen king. O Lord, when thou gavest deliverance unto thy servant, oh, how he did bless thy name, how he did glorify thee, oh, than he desired with all his heart to make known thy praises. O Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou in one moment can give it also unto each and every one of us and our dear children. O thou even gavest it in the heart of that heathen king to acknowledge that thou art the God of gods and that thou art the Lord of kings. Lord, thou art so mighty, thou art almighty, and thou art so gracious and merciful to those who deserve to be cast out of thy sight. Lord, thou bringest us yet together in this morning, again in thy house of prayer, where we may gather around thy holy word. Oh, we wait to hear what thou hast to say also unto us and unto our dear children. Oh, that thou may give us such an attitude of prayer and supplication before thee in this morning hour. Oh, give us a heart that may go out to thee with desires and true longings. Take away all that is hard, all that is cold, and all that is carnal, and seeking after all that is of this world. Oh, give us to be separated for a few moments from the things of time and sense within our wretched hearts, and that to cleave unto them day by day. And wilt thou plant in us a hunger and a thirst after that true and that living God that we have heard of already out of thy holy word. Lord, thou canst reveal the secrets of the heart. Oh, thou art able to open them up in this morning hour. Thou art able to open the heart of each and every one of us to reveal unto us what is lying within our own breast. Oh, Lord, we need it open to us that we might learn to know ourselves, how that we have fallen away from thee, and that we in ourselves are nothing but rebellion against thy holy will and commandments. Oh, instruct us then in that knowledge that cannot be missing in our life. Oh, Lord, wilt thou instruct us also in that knowledge of him whom thou hast sent into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, thou hast given also in that dream of that heathen king, that that name also may be published unto him and unto a many far and near. Oh, that thou may give it also in the days that we live in with our dear children, that thy word may go forth this day with power and with strength by thy Holy Spirit, and that we may not be left dead in sins and in trespasses, or settled upon our lees and not emptied from vessel unto vessel. Lord, grant us life in our souls for the first time or by renewal. Oh, send thy Holy Spirit amongst us and amongst our dear children, and do revive us, Lord, in the poor days in which we live. Oh, we acknowledge that darkness that lays upon us and upon our dear children. Oh, we confess, Lord, that it is thy righteous judgments that bring it upon us, because we have no desire, and because our life that is lived according to the flesh in this world. Lord, oh, thou alone can make it different. Thou alone can speak unto us as dead, dry bones, and to say unto us, live. Oh, that thou may come then with that same power and might in our midst in this thy holy day, and that thou would revive again thy own church that has long sat in bondage, that has their mouth closed, that have their harps upon the willows. Oh, give them yet to sing this day. Oh, may thou open thy word unto us. Oh, we can read it that thou thyself dost say it. Oh, it is a word that no man openeth when thou dost shut. But, Lord, it is also a word that no man can shut when thou wilt open it. And we stand in need of it in this morning hour to bring that word in the midst of this, our dear congregation. May thou then come in the midst of us and be as he that doth serve us. And wilt thou look upon those that are not able to gather amongst us? Thou knowest where that they are. Remember also her, and that lives in the nursing home, and that was brought to the hospital in the day of yesterday. Nor thou knowest the condition of her body. Wilt thou give further healing and strength unto her, and help to all those that must sit by her in this day? Oh, grant them also a Sabbath day's blessing there in that place where they may be. May thou instruct from above. And may thou look also upon the young child who is in the hospital far away. Lord, wilt thou supply in the needs of his body where he received an operation in the day of yesterday, but as also to receive more operations. Lord, it is such a young life again in the midst of us that is laid at the hands of the doctors and the physicians, the nurses. Oh, Lord, may thou watch over and protect him. May thou give healing for his weak and sick body. May thou bless this affliction. Strengthen the parents, feed them with food from above. And may it be that in that place also thy spirit may dwell in this day. Lord, wilt thou go before the whole congregation, widows, widowers, and orphans, thou knowest also them in their loneliness and solitude, and all the difficulties of those that are afflicted and sick in this life. Oh, that thou may help and guide all the medications that may be used for their recovery. And may thou sanctify the ways of affliction, trial, tribulation to us and to our dear children. Lord, wilt thou look upon us in this day, in this morning hour, when we are called to bring this portion of thy word. O Lord, stand thou on our right and on our left hand, when we know not what lieth in the heart of this people.
But Lord, thou dost know, as we have heard it already from thy word, oh, that thou may then feed thy church, that thou may bring low those that are lifted up in themselves. May thou open and reveal what lies in the heart of the hypocrite and the self-deceiver. May thou so lead each and every one of us through that straight gate and upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Oh, that way whereof if we must miss it, then we travel to our everlasting destruction. Lord, hear us. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 220, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved. When thy face shines once more, we announce that at our last congregational meeting, Elder Gerald Brunn was renominated, and also Deacon Ben Outshorn. If there are no objections, they will be reinstalled in their offices on the 30th of this month. Psalter 220, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 6.
Thank you.
Congregation, when was it that the prophet Daniel did live and prophesy? It was at the time of the Babylonian captivity. Thus, Daniel was an exile. He was taken in the first deportation from Israel in the year 608 BC. That was actually the beginning of the world empire of the Babylonians under this king that we have read of, Nebuchadnezzar. What a very discouraging time for the people of the Lord. And why? Because that remnant that was so very, very small and so very, very weak, at least, especially those who truly feared that name of the Lord. And on the other hand, that enemy, he was so very mighty, and that enemy was so very evil and oppressive. Thus, they lay under the dominion of their enemies. And what could the children of Israel say? They could say only what every one of that true people of the Lord must say also in their life. When they sit in bondage, that it is our own fault. Then Israel had to say that we were warned, but we did not take heed unto the warnings of the Lord. And thus, it was a time, and they were circumstances that made that true church of God so liable to despond and to despair. But what has kept them from despairing? That was hope. Because the church that is saved by hope. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet wait for? Thus, that hope that is resting upon something that is not seen. And what was the foundation of the hope of that people that lay in bondage? That was the promise of the Lord Himself. And that was for its fulfillment standing upon the foundation of the faithfulness of He that hath promised. We can read of it, and we have heard of it already in the book of Genesis. Already for the benefit of our first parents. But the Lord has also confirmed that promise to His church. Thus we can read of Abraham in his impossibility, that the Lord has not given him alone to rely upon that which was spoken so long ago, but that the Lord has also come to Abraham and that He has confirmed it also in his own life. How necessary it is, especially when that way is long, that the Lord is coming back upon His own word. And so we read now also that the Lord is coming back again. That is, in the days of their captivity, in the days of Daniel, and we wish to consider that together, especially out of the 44th verse of Daniel 2. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So far the words of our text. God's promise concerning the setting up of his kingdom. First, the time of this kingdom. Or, boys and girls, so we would say, when? When will it be that the Lord will come and set up his kingdom? Second, the strength of this kingdom, or how strong that this kingdom shall be. Third, the endurance of this kingdom, or how long that this kingdom shall last. Thus, God's promise concerning the setting up of his kingdom, first, the time, second, the strength, third, the endurance of this kingdom. And we know, said God's servant, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according unto his purpose. In the history of the scriptures, then we can read it to be so. Everything in this world working for the good of his own people. So we can read it also in the life of Daniel, and that Daniel also recognizes that he sees and explains unto the king the reason that he has these dreams. And then he says that there are two reasons. One, that is to make known unto the king the things that shall come to pass. But the other reason is for the sake of his people. That is, for the sake, he says, of those that will show unto the king the interpretation of his dream. Thus the Lord gave wisdom and the Lord gave understanding unto Daniel and also unto his three friends. For what purpose? That was not for the exaltation of Daniel, but that was for the salvation of his church. That was for the welfare of his own people. Then we read here of a dream, and we know, boys and girls, and we can read in the book of Daniel how that Daniel himself was given sometimes visions, that the Lord opened to him the things that were coming to pass in the future. But here is not a vision, a dream of Daniel, but here is a vision, a dream of a heathen king. Thus, does the Lord show his will? Does the Lord make known unto the heathen his will, his good pleasure? Sometimes. He is the sovereign, not only of his people, but sovereign over everyone in this world. And when he sees it fit, as he did also to show unto Pharaoh by his servant Joseph, and when he sees fit to show unto the heathen more than unto all his people in this world, then he does his own good pleasure. And the Lord has a purpose in it. Because the Lord will make far and wide his will and his good pleasure known. It shall be a warning to the wicked, and it shall be a comfort unto his own church. And yet we read here that Nebuchadnezzar does not understand his dream, all the wise men and all of these astrologers and sorcerers, they are at a loss. The Lord is hiding it from the wise and from the prudent. And not only does the king not understand a dream, but we read here that he cannot even remember that dream. Boys and girls, sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you had a dream, you cannot remember it either. So you say, King, then that is quite natural. No, the king feels something different than you feel. And what is that? Well, he feels that this dream was so very special. He feels that the dream was not as other dreams which he has dreamt in his life and has forgotten in the morning. No, but he feels that there is a message, that there is something higher in that dream that he has dreamed, and therefore he wishes, he is troubled in his heart that he might know what that dream is again and what that dream that is meaning. The Lord hides it from him. Naturally, all of these astrologers, they cannot say what that dream is either. And the Lord does that for a purpose, because men twist his word. Men turn his word to mean what they want it to mean. That is the way of the wicked. But the Lord will keep his word pure. And the Lord will have that dream that he has given unto Nebuchadnezzar also to be interpreted not by the wise men of this world, but the Lord will have that dream to be interpreted by his own children, by his true servants. And now you know the history. Daniel, he is given to know what the dream is. He is given to know what the interpretation of that dream is. And that is what now we want to consider. We read that that king, he has seen a great image. It is the image of a man. We read that that head of that image, and that was of fine gold. We read that the breast and the arms of that image are of silver. The belly and the thighs, they are of brass. The legs are of iron. And the feet, they are a mixture of iron and of clay. And now what does Daniel say? That the Lord, he has given you this dream, O Nebuchadnezzar, that you might know the things that are going to come to pass in the future, the things that are to come. Thus that image. That image is now divided, we read, into four parts. And Daniel gives the interpretation of those of that dream, and he explains what these four parts of this image stand for. Thus, we see first that head, and that head that is made out of fine gold. And Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold. Thus, the head, that is that Babylonian kingdom, that is the very first of the great world powers. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Does not give the credit to Nebuchadnezzar. No, we read several times that Daniel is reminding this king that it is not thee, O king, that has given all this into thine own hand, that it is not the power of thine own might, but it is that the Lord is setting up one and the Lord is putting down another, and that it is the Lord who has given all this power into thine hand. His dominion that is extended far and wide, also unto the countries of Asia. All of the historical nations which were known in that day. Then he speaks of a second. He says, another kingdom shall arise. That is, after this kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, this representation of by this head of gold, then he speaks about the next one, that is, that breast and the arms which are of silver. Silver, we know, that is not as valuable as gold. So there is something a little inferior, still great, but a little inferior unto that first kingdom. Now, of course, we look back upon it. But at that time, they looked forward, so that it was difficult for them to see that fulfillment, and they had to watch and they had to wait. Now we may look back and we may see that this was the kingdom of the Medes and of the Persians. The year 536 BC, then Babylon has fallen, and we read that Cyrus begins to reign. How was it that that kingdom of the Medes and of the Persians was inferior to this kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar? Because actually, it was not inferior in its extent, because the kingdom of the Medes and Persians has been broader. It was wider in scope. They have conquered more nations than were in that day of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, that is true. Then in scope and extent, then it was wider. But it was the kingdom of the Medes and of the Persians. And the Medes and the Persians, they were not completely united to one another. And thus there was always that struggle between them for that supremacy. If you go to the 8th chapter of Daniel, then Daniel also has received a dream, a vision. And there Daniel speaks about a ram, and that ram had two horns. Thus that ram that had two horns, that is speaking of that same kingdom of the Medes and of the Persians. That ram with the two horns. Thus, slightly inferior. Why? It was divided. Calvin speaks about these four kingdoms, of which this image was a picture, and the inferiority of each one to the other. And he points to the morality that was in each of those kingdoms. Thus, the immorality has increased with each further kingdom. In the third place, then the Lord has shown to him in that picture that the belly and the thighs, they are made of brass. Thus brass, slightly inferior again unto silver. That is a kingdom which we read, it shall bear rule over all the earth. What kingdom was that? That was the Macedonian kingdom. No doubt you have read about it, young people. When Alexander the Great has gone forth and has conquered many, many nations. Again, in the vision of Daniel, when you read about that ram that has two horns, thus the kingdom of the Medes and of the Persians, Then you read again of a he-goat, and that he-goat that had a notable horn between his eyes. And you read of that he-goat that he, when he ran, did not even touch the ground. You can read also that Daniel, he had a vision of the leopard, and that leopard had wings, thus it flew, as it were, over the earth. And so we see the fulfillment of this third kingdom in Alexander the Great, when he has flown, as it were, over the earth and very swiftly conquered one nation after the other. Thus, we have the first three kingdoms, Nebuchadnezzar's, the head of gold, the kingdom of the Medes and of the Persians, the breast of silver with the two arms. And then the Macedonian or the Alexandrian kingdom, the belly and the thighs of brass. Thus, there is one more. What is that, boys and girls? That is the iron. We read iron legs, and actually then along with the legs have to be taken also the feet. And we read that they are part of iron and they are part of clay. That is, Daniel says, the fourth kingdom, he says, strong as iron. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. What kingdom was this? This is the Roman Empire. Not only was it hard, but it was also cruel and barbaric. It was a very powerful kingdom, and yet the morality of Roman Empire that was even worse than all those kingdoms that have gone before. This kingdom, the Roman Empire, these legs of gold, with the feet and the toes, would be divided. There are 10 of those toes, and that Roman Empire that would be divided eventually into 10 parts. But we read that that Roman Empire that is signified by the metals of iron, but that it is mixed with clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. In the Roman Empire, they have sought to unify the whole world. They have tried to make their kingdom very, very strong. And how did they attempt to do that? They attempted to do that by covenants and by intermarriages. Intermarriages among the royalties, intermarriages also among the tribes. So they have mingled the seed, mingle the people together to make that people all one, so that they would not be able to split apart from each other anymore, that there would be but one world kingdom and one world power. And yet that Roman Empire that was broken, we can read into 10 hearts, 10 kingdoms. How? By inner fightings, by inner discord, that the Lord has prophesied already in that time of Daniel, that that iron and that clay, though they attempted to mix these two and to make that kingdom strong thereby, that the iron would not mix with the clay, but it would depart from one another. So the Lord speaks about these four kingdoms that would arise in the future in those days. They are all different. They are all unique. But the Lord pictures them all as one image. Thus, there is something that unifies all of these four kingdoms together. And it is pictured as a man. Thus, in every one of those kingdoms, there is the same ideology, the same thought, the same that they are working for, that same cause. And what is it? It is for the lifting up. It is for the glorifying, the magnification of man. It is all in those four kingdoms in opposition unto God. And what do we read about that image? That its brightness was excellent. Its brightness excellent. And all men, they are looking at the excellency of the glory of that image. And they are looking to follow. They are falling down. They are worshiping the excellent glory of the lifting up of man. And then we read also something else, that is his form that is terrible. Thus, that image that represents something that is horrible toward that church of God, something that is threatening that church of God. Under this image, that church of God is brought under dominion. And so they had to experience it also. And then especially in those days of Daniel. And the Lord has upheld that people. And when they were living in this, under this dominion. And he has upheld his people with what? He has upheld his people with a promise. And here the Lord gives his people to know when. What was our first point again, boys and girls? That was the time when the kingdom of God would be set up. When was it that the Messiah would come into the world? When was it that the Lord Jesus would be born in this world? We say, something revealed to Adam, something more revealed unto Abraham, the patriarchs, but through the prophets of the Lord, then even more is revealed concerning the coming of that Messiah. And here we read that the Lord reveals unto his people the time. That he says, in these days, so in the time of that last empire, the fourth one that shall be set up. What does he say then to his people? You must watch. You must wait and you must look at all of those things that are happening in the world all around you. And you must compare now what I have said to you with all that is happening, and then you shall know when that Messiah shall be born. That is the reason that there was an expectation of the children of Israel in the time of the birth of Christ. And that there was an expectation that the Lord Jesus soon would be coming. It was because of the promise of the Lord. We see in our second thought the strength of that kingdom. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Thus the Lord speaks now about another kingdom. that is now the substance of the promise of the Lord from the very beginning. It is the kingdom of Christ. But now this kingdom of Christ is not part of that image, as those four kingdoms are each part of that image, but this kingdom that is completely separate, is completely diverse from this image. Where does this kingdom come from? Well, we read, "Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands." Thus, this is not the kingdom of men for which that image is standing here, but this is now the kingdom of God. Without hands, then that stone that is cut out. Thus, there is a great difference with this kingdom. It has a different origin, and it also has a different nature. Thus, completely separate and different. And yet we read that the beginnings of this kingdom are going to be very, very small. Just as a stone. This very smallness that was a stumbling block unto the Jews. The Jews could have known that Christ would come in a very humble way. The Jews could have known that the Lord Jesus was going to come in a very common way. As we see a stone that is just so common, that is not like that beautiful, great image that has been built by man with all of his ingenuity out of all the metals of the earth. No, the origin of this kingdom that is going to be from heaven. He will not be born of the flesh, but he will be born of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, and yet he was not esteemed by men. Even when the Jews should have known that they should not have been looking to anything that was so glorious, but they should have been looking for something that was seemingly so common. Oh, there is nothing strange about that fact that the royalty of the Lord Jesus was not recognized by the world when he came. But what do we read of that stone? That stone smote the image upon the iron and the clay feet, that it broke it in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. Thus, that little stone, in comparison to this great image, that little stone, that stone that was rejected by the builders because that it was just so common. But that stone, we read here, that shall become the headstone of the corner. Every kingdom that is against the Lord Jesus Christ shall never stand before this king. The devil shall not be able to prevail against Christ, nor against his church. He is that prince of all the kings of the earth. But already here, then we see a confirmation how that the head of Satan will be bruised. That is a great comfort. To whom is that a great comfort? That is not a great comfort to the world. But that was a great comfort to God's chosen people. Where were they lying? They were lying under the dominion of this enemy. It was a church that was in bonds. It was a church that saw something of the power and of the might of man, and how had to experience that power in their own life. But that which is looming so high and so mighty to make that church of God to fear, what does the Lord say? That shall be destroyed. Oh, how often does the devil not make that church of God to tremble by all of his devices and institutions here in this world? But what does the Lord say unto his people? He says, my people. He says, all that is so strong, all that you fear, that is nothing but weakness. He says, all that may seem to shine, all that may seem to be so mighty and coming against you, and that you are lying under its power. Oh, it has but feet of clay. It has a brittle foundation. And the Lord is able to destroy it in one moment. Thus an encouragement unto that church of God that has been waiting so long already. For these is so many thousands of years for the fulfillment of the promise that the Lord is saying, wait, not only a comfort, but also a warning. A warning unto Nebuchadnezzar, a warning unto the wicked, that the Lord indeed is going to fulfill his promise, and that the Lord indeed is going to break that power of that prince of darkness, that Satan may have power in this world, that he may bruise that heel of Christ, but he shall never win that battle, that he is going to make his enemies as that the summer threshing floors, that chaff that is going to just blow away with the wind. Let us sing Psalter 205. 205 stanzas 1, 2, 3, 12, and 13. O wherefore hast thou cast us off? O God, our God of old, why art thou angry with thy sheep, the sheep of thy own fold, the sheep of thy own fold? The first three and 12 and 13 of Psalter 205. our last thought, the endurance of this kingdom, and the stone that smote the image became a great, great mountain and filled the whole earth. The dominion, the extension of this kingdom that the Lord has promised to his people, that is going to be greater than any kingdom that man would build in this world. The Lord has his church among every age of time and among every nation in this world. And we can read in Revelation 7 that the Lord shows that there is a multitude that are clothed in white robes, a multitude that no man can number. Thus, that kingdom that begins as a little despised stone in the eyes of men, that shall become, Daniel says, as a great mountain. And in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Thus, all these kingdoms, we read, shall be consumed. What does that mean? Every kingdom of man in this world has an end. And then there comes another kingdom after it in this world. That's why there is a succession of kingdoms here on the earth. But the kingdom of God is eternal. Therefore, he says, it shall stand forever. Then it remains immovable as that great mountain in contrast to all these other kingdoms, because that image that is broken to pieces, the government of this new kingdom that shall never be given into the hands of another king, no, but it shall remain in the hands of God and his dear son. Or was that not a comfort unto Daniel and unto all those that were Daniel in that captivity? In the day that they felt, in the day that they experienced that power of that enemy, what does the Lord say? It is temporary. It is coming to an end. One day all the oppression of my church shall be finished. That's what does the Lord teach his people to do, to look forward. He teaches to his people to wait patiently his time. He teaches his people not to despair in those circumstances. The time was going to be long. The time would be from now another 600 years until the coming, the setting up of that kingdom of Christ in this world. He does not speak of the hour. Nobody speaks of the rise and of the fall of nations before that the kingdom of Christ comes. So he says still three nations that must rise and fall. Or he makes his people to look by a lively faith upon his own word, upon his own promise and the confirmation of that promise, that they might watch, and that when all these things come to pass, that they may look up, because then the redemption draweth nigh. Congregation, the Lord showed all these kingdoms of the world as one image, one head. The image has one head, and that image, that it has one ideology. Who is the governor? That is Satan. And that image was bright, that had a brightness to it. Or does the brightness of that image, of all the kingdoms now of this world, Does the brightness of that image draw us? It does draw us. It draws our natural heart that we want to go out after that image. But what do we read? The form of that image that is terrible. Oh, there is a church that sometimes trembles when they are seeing what that image is in this world, that they are fearing, and that their children, that their grandchildren, that they are going a-whoring after the excellency and after the brightness of this image. All the nations of the world, they are one in the gathering against Christ and His church. And it shall be more and more so the closer that we go to the end of the time that the Lord has given us in this world. And that is why that the Lord says that there is coming in this world a great tribulation. Oh, how terrible shall the form of that image be that when that church is once again allowed, permitted to come by the hand of the Lord under the persecutions of the kingdoms of this world. Oh, who shall be able to stand? Peter could not stand when he came under the influence and of the fear of that image. And then he stood over with the enemy. And he said, I do not know him. Then I do not have anything to do with him. Who shall be able to stand? Now, what are we doing when we come in such circumstances? Then the flesh is leaning toward that which is visibly strong, visibly mighty. That is why the Pharisees, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king, they said, but Caesar. But he was part of that image. And they had no excuse. They had also the prophecy of this prophet Daniel. They knew also, or they ought to have known, that the beginnings of that kingdom, they were going to be so small, that it was going to look so common. But it is only by faith that a man may be given to rest upon that promise of the Lord, upon that stone that is cut out of that mountain without hands. Of ourselves, we cannot see what is divine, what is spiritual. Of ourselves, we have no desire for that which is so common and so small. And you and I have less excuse than these Jews, living in the time of the great fulfillment of the prophecies of this Word of God. Then as surely as the Lord has brought it to pass exactly as He has prophesied, and that Christ was born exactly in that time, so certainly shall He come in His second advent. Congregation, what are we looking for? What are we waiting for in this life? Every kingdom in this world is temporal. Every kingdom in this world lasts only for a time. But the kingdom of God that is eternal. And though the temporal kingdoms in this world might seem mighty, though they might seem so great, though they might shine as an excellent brightness, that we would go a-whoring after these kingdoms, they are very soon going to be destroyed. And they are going to be broken. Broken to pieces, we read. And they are going to become like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And you are not going to see them anymore. Because the wind is going to drive them away. And then there is only one kingdom that is going to stand in that day. Oh, that is that kingdom that is spiritual. It is that kingdom that is cut out of that mountain without hands. Oh, are we a citizen now of this kingdom? This kingdom that cannot be destroyed, that is going to last forever and forever. The kingdom looks so small in comparison, young people, to all of this world. Maybe you say that sometimes to yourself. Oh, that church of God, that is so small. How can all these people in the world that are serving this and that religion and this and that God, how can all those people be wrong? And that church that is so low, it is so despised, it is so mean, do you recognize them? They are the citizens of that kingdom. They are the poor, we read in the Bible, of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that God hath promised to them that love him. They are the poor, they are the lame, they are the blind, they are the maimed ones that he is calling from the lanes and from the streets of the city that they might come in. In the world they shall have tribulation. That is the word of the king of that kingdom himself. Who is that true church? And who is that king? Oh, he is he that is born in a stable. He is he that is growing up in that despised Nazareth. It is he that is suffering. It is he that has but 12 poor disciples. It is he that is being mocked as he is hanging upon that cursed tree. Oh, do you see who is the king? Do you see who are now the citizens of this kingdom? In the beginning, so very small, but it has such a great promise. The promise is that it shall become as a great mountain, and it says it shall fill the whole earth. So that when the heavens, they are rolled away as a scroll, and when the stars of heaven shall fall, like the leaves fall off the vine, and like the figs they fall off of that fig tree, then this kingdom that shall remain with its king and with all of its citizens. Oh, let us seek. Let us seek for that spiritual life that will make us a citizen congregation of this spiritual kingdom. Oh, that glorious, that shining image that is so wretchedly drawing our evil and our wicked hearts. Oh, that it might lose all of its value. Oh, keep it in mind that it is going to be utterly destroyed. And that small common stone that is cut without hands, oh, that would become the object of our desires, because then we are the recipients with that true church of God, of those promises that shall certainly be fulfilled, world without end. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have no nature to seek after thee. O all that is beautiful, all that is rich, and all that is majestic in this world. And thou sayest it time and time again, it is passing away. We have no ears to hear it. We have no heart to understand it, Lord. Grant it unto each and every one of us, thou whose arm that is so strong and mighty. Oh, give us that desire, that we may also be part of that kingdom that shall never end, the kingdom of thy only begotten Son. Forgive all our sins, and wilt thou bring us safely now to our homes and give us to be together with desire in this afternoon hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 3, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Wherefore do the nations rage and the people vainly dream, and that in triumph they can wage war against the King Supreme? Christ his Son a scoff they make, and the rulers plotting say, their dominion let us break. Let us cast their yoke away, and their dominion let us break. Let us cast their yoke away. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter number 3.
Nations rage and the
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.